Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bethel Defiance. Our pastor was AWOL until about 3 seconds ago, so that's good. He actually showed up. Bless his soul. So, in our culture of honor, let's bless our pastor.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I was AWOL for a few seconds, but I am here. I am present. Whether I'm accounted for or not is a completely different question, but I'm present and maybe accounted for. Hey, it's good to see Paul here this morning. How many of you are glad to see Paul this morning? Woo-hoo! I'm not sure he knows that we just did that, but that's okay. That's good. Just good to see all your smiling faces. It's nice and nice, bright, shiny faces and something about places. Oh, well, anyway, I don't remember what that is. Anyway, glad you're here. Glad you're here. So I want to talk to you today, and the title of my message is You Are All That and a Bag of Chips. Look at your neighbor and say, you're amazing. Now tell him you're awesome. Now tell him you're all that and a bag of chips. How many of you would like to have a bag of chips? Okay, well, we don't have any to pass out right now, but you are the saints of God, and I am so glad that I get to talk to you. Oh, somebody has a bag of chips. That's amazing. Betty came prepared. She's like prophetic Betty right there with the bag of chips prophecy. All right. Anyway, you are the saints of God, and you are amazing, and we love you all. And today, I just want to give you some encouragement. So one scripture, at least, that we can begin with is in Matthew chapter 22, if you want to turn there. And while you're turning there, I'm going to say I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm feeling a little bit better this morning. Yesterday morning, I got up and I did some work and laid some flooring and did all sorts of things and didn't get a shower until late. And then I sat down after my shower and clipped my nails. And I've never done this before, but apparently I pulled my back clipping my nails. I don't know how that works. We were going to see grandkids, and I'm like, doing this. And yeah, and then their dog jumped on me, hits me. Yeah, they got a new dog. They've had him for a couple, 3 or 4 months now, and he's going to be huge. He's a golden doodle, yeah. And he comes running up to me when I get there, hits me in the stomach, which makes me bend over, which makes me bend my back. This dog is killing me. Get him off of me. Just one of those days. But that's a first for me. Throwing my back out, clipping my nails. That's pretty talented there, really. So anyway, are you in Matthew 22? Hopefully you got there while I was telling that little story. And we'll be looking at verse 39 and just part of the verse, but you can read the whole thing if you want later and just follow through. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that was the part that I wanted to emphasize. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. So here's the thing. How well do you love your neighbor if you don't love you? Let me change the wording on that a little bit. How well do you value your neighbor if you don't value you? It's just a thought. It's a good thought, though, because I think it's important that we're not going to be able to value others if we don't have any value for ourselves. If we don't recognize what God has put into us, and we're not happy about what God is doing with us, and we're not happy about the way God is working in us, then we might not have the right value for ourselves. And if we don't have the right value for ourselves, then how are we going to value others? Well, I mean, we're going to value them like we value ourselves. So if I'm kind of irritated with me, exasperated me, tired of me, don't like my, I feel bad. I think I'm, you know, I'm down in, what they say, down in the Molly Grubs, which is 2 blocks south of down in the dumps. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll go eat worms. Great big fat ones. Great big juicy ones. Never mind. There's a song to it. I used to sing it when we were kids. So, you know, it's important that we value ourselves properly. I'll put it that way at first. And I think that you should value the way I value me, and I am fantastic. I just want you to know I'm just amazing. Now, I really do feel like we can be kind of aware of what God is doing in us and be happy and value what God is doing us in a way that sometimes we don't do if we're not focused properly. And so I'm going to help you do that, I hope, a little bit today. Let me just say this. Now, don't raise your hands on this. This is a rhetorical question. Yeah, Bob's already raised his hand. Just mess with me. Rhetorical question. Generally, do you like people? Okay. That's a problem, actually, that I've noticed in the world today. Like, I'm not sure people like people anymore. Because people can be irritating. How many of you got any irritating people around you? I know my wife does. Every Sunday. Yeah, there you go. It might be, just a thought here, but it might be that if you generally don't like people, maybe it's because you really don't like you. Did I say that out loud? Don't like you? Well, sometimes we try to take care of our needs and do stuff, but again, we don't necessarily like ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." I've mentioned this scripture a few times over the years, and what happened was I was studying this scripture, and I looked at that word highly and realized that that word highly was more about quantity than it was quality. A lot of times we're worried about, you know, somebody who thinks too much of themselves, like they think, you know, we don't like it because they think they're all that. That's dangerous right there. Okay. Hang on a second. Yeah, tighten it down. I thought I did. There we go. That was just the sound of my back jacking up again. That was awesome. No, I was studying this verse, and I thought, you know, sometimes we don't like people because they do seem to think of themselves too highly. They think they're all that in a bag of chips, and we don't think they're all that in a bag of chips. And so then we have a problem with the way they behave themselves. And I understand that can be, you know, that can be irritating, but there is a quantity to this word highly, in the sense that you think about yourself just too much. Do you know that you can not like yourself, be irritated with yourself, be aggravated with your life and everything going on around you, and you can be so focused on yourself that you actually are fulfilling this verse and not thinking of yourself in what I would consider a sober manner? What's a sober manner? That means, you know, clear. Clear. Thinking of yourself clearly. So what should I think of myself, and what does God think of me? And those are things that are really important. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." You were put together by God. And when God formed you and put you together, he knew what was going to happen in your life and what you might look like over time. Anybody look in the mirror lately and think, you don't look like you did 20 years ago? Never? You never think that. I feel thinner someplace than I was 20 years ago. You know, there are things that happen like that that... Yeah, but God knew all the stuff that was going to come through your life, and he knew how you were going to be and what you were going to be and what he wanted you to be. And he created you, and, well, you know, one time somebody said, "Are you ever going to get a tattoo, Pastor?" And I said, "Why would I put graffiti on a Rembrandt?" I'm not against your tattoos, by the way. If you don't know that, a few years ago, I actually did a two-part message on tattoos. I really did. And it's available. I can go find it. We can pull it up. You can listen to it. I'm not trying to pick on that, but I just was trying to be funny. But the reality is, I feel like God made me a certain way, and I think I should celebrate the way that God made me rather than debating God on how he made me. This is yes. It's a good idea. So I don't want to get sidetracked on the tattoos, but I want to think about this a little bit. If you don't like the way God created you, then in a sense, either you don't believe that God created you. You're welcome to not like you if you don't believe God created you, and you won't have a big problem with God about it, except that you're just not having a relationship with God, which is not in your favor. But God created you the way he created you on purpose. And so if you are not happy with what God did, then you are in the unenviable position of resisting God. Do you ever think of it that way? Hey, God, I would rather have this color hair or that color hair. Well, today you can change that. That's kind of cool. You can fix that if you want to. I would rather have more hair. I could probably fix that, but I'm not into that. I like wearing hats, but I don't like wearing hats that look like hair. And, you know, we got guys like Bob back here who looks so nice. He looks so good the way he is. He says, what do you want? The offering's coming up later. Okay, so, you know, I don't want to be in the position where I seem to be resisting God. And by the way, if I am resisting God, then I'm also saying to God, I'm smarter than you are. Think about it. If I'm resisting what God wants to do, then I might be saying to God, I'm smarter than you are. I'm not sure that I want to be in that spot, and I'm not sure that's going to work out for you if you're in that spot. So God knows who you are. He knows what he created. You are his workmanship. And I think he likes the way he created you. So the question is, if God likes the way he created you, should you like the way he created you? It's just a good question. Once while I was praying, I heard myself say, and I pray out loud a lot because I believe there's a verbal advantage. I think when you pray kind of silently, you don't hear some of the things that you're actually thinking clearly. And when you say them, you hear them, then your brain has a chance to hear what you just said, and it makes you think, should I have said that? And that's exactly what happened here, because I heard myself say, well, you know, your ideas are sometimes better than mine. Sometimes? I heard myself say that. Sometimes better than mine? Like God would ever have an idea that wasn't as good as my idea? That's pretty silly. So I laughed out loud at myself. Yeah, I do that a lot, by the way. Probably way too much. In fact, I probably laugh at myself way too much. But I don't think we need to remind God about what he needs to do, because I think God knows what he is doing, and I think it's a good idea to trust him in that. I don't think he's up in heaven looking down and saying, I wish I hadn't made that guy. Except maybe Jeremiah. But other than that, just, Jeremiah's like, yeah, some days. No, I think God knew what he was doing in every case. And God isn't displeased with where you are either. You know, you are where you're supposed to be, and if you're not where you're supposed to be, God can get you there. And you know, God, if God's getting you there, then get there. Get where God wants you to be. Be where you're supposed to be. Jonah found out that God can get you there. And if you go the wrong direction, God can send a whale if necessary. Yeah. Swallow that. All right. And God is happy with when you are living, by the way. Do you realize that you were created for such a time as this? Do you ever wish you could live in another time? I hear people say that sometimes. Oh, I wish I lived this period of time or that period of time. You know, if they would really study this period of time or that period of time, they would find out that you probably are still living the best period of time in the history of all human beings. And where, by the way, you are blessed to live where you are in this part of the world. There are like 7 billion plus people out there. I will remind you that of the 7 billion plus people, somewhere close to 5 billion of them have never, ever in their entire lives used toilet paper. Think about that for a minute. No, don't think about it too long. You are where you're supposed to be. You're here when you're supposed to be. It's really, you know, there's a lot to be happy about. There's a lot to feel good about. He's happy that you're happening. And he's happy that you're happening now. And so even though the world we live in is pretty strange, especially the last couple of years. Anybody agree with the last couple of years has been pretty weird? We're cruising along just fine, and then all of a sudden everything changes, and we're filled with social distancing and PPE and shots and just stuff. And politics are nuttier than it's ever been any time in my lifetime anyway. I don't know about you, but it's a pretty crazy time to live, and yet God put you here now for a reason. That's pretty exciting. You were put here for a purpose, and Ephesians 2:10 says, I just read that a minute ago, it tells us that our purpose is good works. Another translation of the word good works could be beautiful action. You're not here to just scrape by and survive, but God has you here to do something beautiful. And sometimes you can see those beautiful things if you'll focus on them a little bit, and you can start to be pretty happy about them. Like John here. In spite of the way we see John right now, he was once a little tiny kid. Pretty beautiful little kid, actually. And now, he's not so beautiful, but he has two beautiful little kids. Oh, come on, you didn't walk in today and go, wow, he's beautiful. I can't believe how beautiful John is today. Yeah, well, John did. But I mean, you know, those of us who have grandkids, we can like, wow, you know. Even if our grandkids are a little ugly, we still think they're beautiful, right? We love the beautiful things that God is doing, and sometimes we forget to celebrate the beautiful things and participate in that beauty and focus on that beauty and realize that we were created for beautiful things to help beautiful things happen. And almost all of us can say that we really do have some beautiful things going on around us. God doesn't want you to just come here, survive, and get to heaven by the skin of your teeth. He wants you to have a beautiful life. He really does. That was why he created you. He didn't create you just as a grand experiment where he tests everything and everybody. He created you for beauty. And you are all saints of the kingdom of God. If you know Christ and you've asked him into your heart, you're saints and you're here on a mission. And that mission is beautiful. It's a beautiful mission. It's the most beautiful thing that you could do with your life. There's not another thing that you could possibly do with your life that's more beautiful than the mission God has sent you. And there are some people who have lost that mission. They're not getting to be in on that mission. But if they could connect, click, lock in with that mission, I believe that's when their life starts to get more beautiful. That's why we have these things that do happen in our life, and we're just like, wow, I am so blessed. This was beautiful, this thing that happened in my life. But the most important and most beautiful thing that you can do is being on target with what God created you for. Kind of crazy, but it's kind of cool at the same time. So we ought to start doing beautiful things. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Everybody say that. I am the light of the world. That wasn't too bad. I'm not sure that most enthusiasm. I think there was some, for a few voices, maybe some question. I am the light of the world? This is Jesus talking to us. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives the light, and it gives light, excuse me, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When people see your beautiful actions, they will get excited about God. If we can just let the beauty of what God has called us to and the beauty of who we are shine, people will get curious about that. They'll get excited about that. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Do you see yourself as light? You light up the room. No, you do. If you aren't doing that basket thing, you light up the room. You light up my life. This song, right? What was that? It was good because a lot of people laughed, so it must have been really good. Never mind. See, the thing is, we have the light in us. We are full of light because the light of Christ is shining in us. When we have the light of Christ in us and when we are full of light, then we have a lot of light to give. But sometimes we get, you know, where we're not shining ourselves around with any confidence because we have this lack of confidence because we don't believe that we are what he says we are. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The excellencies. It's so easy sometimes to lose sight of what God says about us. It's really easy to get sidetracked. I know. I battle it just like you. I do. And sometimes the little details and the little things that are going on keep us from the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that in spite of all the craziness sometimes that we get to be light in the middle of it. And we complain about the darkness of our world. But I thought about doing this today, but you know the way our sanctuary works and the way the light comes in, I'm not sure it would have worked really super good. It would be nice, though, if I could just turn everything to pitch black. And then light the tiniest little light in front of you all. And you would say, oh, yeah. I mean, it takes almost zero light, even in a room this size, if it's pitch black, and you turn that little light on, every eye can see it. And if you wait for your eyes to adjust, you start to actually see. Like if I was holding it in front of my face, you would start to see my face. Because that little bit of light is all it needs. So you may not be the biggest, you know, high beam, what do they call those lights that they used to put outside all the time when they were having, what's that? Yeah, searchlight, there we go. You know, I haven't seen those in years, but you remember that, any of you? They used to put searchlights out when they were having a sale and people would see the searchlights and you'd be like, oh, what's that over there? And like a moth, you'd go buy stuff, you know. Get to it. This is why we exist. This is what we're here for. This is why we are breathing, to be the light. If you're living with anything less, then you're living below your privilege and outside of your calling. And there are so many things that the enemy tries to do to keep us distracted so that we don't have the fun. I want to enlighten you today. You can take this, any situation, and you can just decide you're going to turn on the light and start to be the light in whatever situation you're in. So stop believing that you're not amazing, because you are. I think it's pretty amazing that Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," after he said, "I am the light of the world." Was Jesus amazing? Uh-huh. And then he said, now you are the light of the world. We've said this a lot of times over the years too. If we believe the lie, we empower the liar. If I don't believe that I'm the light of the world, if I don't believe that I was created for good works, for beautiful things, if I don't believe that, then I empower that doubt and that fear, and I stop acting on who he says I am. I want to encourage you to start looking for places to shine. When you're getting out of your car and you're getting ready to go into the store or the restaurant or to work or to school, think to yourself, it's my time to shine. Put a smile on your face. You say, well, I don't feel like smiling. Well, sometimes you just have to put on a happy face. I have found that when I do smile, especially, I don't know if I've mentioned this to the worship team or not, but sometimes I'll be pretty intense up here when I'm trying to play the guitar and sing or do something, and I'm thinking real hard, and I'll think to myself, is that as important as Papa God? Should you be happy right now, or should you look like you're just miserable trying to get through that chord structure? I thought about this. I need to get around to this. Maybe I can just print it because I usually make up the song lists and everything. You mean I need to put the word smile on, you know, the music for the worship team? We should just, once in a while I think of that and then it makes me laugh at myself. See, that's what I want to tell you. It makes me laugh. I think, wonder what you look like right now. Probably not that good. Do you look happy? Do you look like you're enjoying worship, or do you look like you're really lost in that chord? Right? And sometimes I am lost. I'll just be honest. All of our musicians go through those moments where it's like, where am I at on this page right now? It's especially easy to do if I'm really enjoying God's worship. If I'm just kind of trying to enter in and then I forget that I've got to lead it. Oops. I really believe that if we'll decide it's time to shine, if we'll laugh at ourselves a little bit, even if we don't feel like it, and put a smile on our face and kind of say to ourselves, hey, I'm blessed. I am so blessed. This is my time to just go and do something for God. I'm just going to go in there, and if I can't do anything else, I'm going to smile at everybody. They'll think I'm goofy. They'll be right. Just go into places, you know, you got to... I find myself quite irritated with the... We keep every receipt, my wife and I know some of you don't do that, but my wife is very, you know, receipt-oriented. Like if I put something on a credit card, then I get the receipt. I put it in my wallet and I take it home to my wife. Because if I don't, she will kill me. She wants to not be surprised by the bills when they come. You know, she wants to know how much I'm spending. Okay, got it. I'm good. But... how many of you have been to gas pumps and you press receipt and it says clerk has receipt? So I walk right in there and I go, why have you got my receipt? No, I don't do that. That's not a good idea. But I've told a couple of clerks, hey, when I get the thing where it says clerk has the receipt, I feel like Jesus wants me to come in and tell you have a good day. Are you having a good day? And I smile at him real big. You know, sometimes you just put a smile on your face, you march in someplace, and you just love the hell out of somebody. Wasn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we trying to take them from the place where they are to a place where they need to be? We went to the restaurant yesterday. Actually, we went to two restaurants. We tried to go to Cracker Barrel. I when I go to Cracker Barrel, I almost always get some kind of prophetic word or word of encouragement for the waitress or waiter, but usually a waitress. And it's like that's a really, like, that's a guaranteed place for me. Part of the reason is because I've done it so many times that I'm going to remember I need to do this. And as soon as I start looking at the waitress, God will highlight something to me and I'll have a word for them. So I'm in the restaurant and we're waiting for someone to even just check us in. There's like three couples there. Three couples there. I'm on a roll today. And so there are three couples standing there, and we're waiting, and they're back in the back, and they're busy, busy, busy. And finally, they come out, and they go, it's going to be about 20 minutes, because they had just seated 44 people off of a bus. And I was already looking back toward the waitresses and thinking, I wonder who's going to be my waitress today, because it was on my mind. So then we decided we weren't going to stay there because 20 minutes we were on our way to see the kids, but we wanted to get something to eat before we saw the kids. So we went over to Paradise Buffet, by the way. Just give them a little advertisement. Boy, is their food good, and you will get fat. So anyway, we can eat keto there, so we went over there. And Paradise Buffet is the hardest place for me to tell the waitress anything because they're mostly people who speak Chinese. And most of what they say is water or pesi or whatever they say. You know, they what do you want? They what would you like to drink? They'll say that, and then you tell them, and that's about as much conversation as I can get with a waitress at most Chinese restaurants. It's just the way it works. So I was kind of frustrated, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, this isn't going to be any place to do this." And I'm on my way out, and there's a young lady named Danielle as we're leaving, and I engaged Danielle in a conversation. And there was people waiting, so I tried not to be too long. I mean, they weren't right at first, so I had a couple extra minutes. And we're just talking back and forth, and before we're done, I've got her laughing. And I didn't get a word for her or anything, but she was having such a good time. And I said to her, you know, she says, have a good day. And you know what I always say, it's unavoidable. I said, well, you know, God made me a wonderful day, and if God made a wonderful day, then if it's screwed up, it's probably me who did it. So I'm just deciding I'll have a wonderful day. It's unavoidable. And she goes, that's really good. And she was just encouraged, and we had a wonderful conversation. And I got to be a little bit of light in the middle of her day. Can you imagine what would be like if every Christian was doing that all the time, everywhere they went? And does our world need a little bit of light right now, or what? So look for places to shine. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Tell your neighbor, his glory is on you. Yeah. I believe that if we practice shining everywhere we go, we could literally help the people around us get out of their personal deep darkness. Who knows? We might follow each other into the same place and not even know that all of us were there, or some of us were there. And we might all, just one after another, encourage somebody. Maybe we end up buying, you know, four or five of us the same gas station in the same day on the same shift, and somebody gets this encouragement, 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 encouragement. And the next thing you know, they're going, where did you people come from? And the answer is heaven. Well, that's where we should come from, on earth as it is in heaven. We should be coming from that place where we receive our life. That's where we should come from. You know, when we say, where are you coming from? We don't always mean a physical location. We mean, oh, I get where you're coming from. Somebody say, but what if I really messed up? What if I've really been off and I messed my life up and life has not been good and whatever. You know, I quote this all the time, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and for not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans, multiple plans for you. He's had multiple plans for me because I've messed a couple of them up. So he just gets me back on a different plan. I was doing this the other day. We decided after we went through Hicksville on our way and we were going to go, and then we decided we weren't going to go where we thought we were going to go. And so I just tried to program my phone and I tried to get it to take us to Auburn, and there were three different ways to go to Auburn. You ever do that with your phone? It gives you choices. I didn't like one choice, so I put my finger on a different choice, and then after I got on that choice, I wish I hadn't done that choice because it was through the country. It was kind of fun. We got to see things, but I had to be looking at my phone, you know, listening to my phone all the time to tell me where to go. There are plans. Whatever route, if I get off the route, how many of you know it'll reroute me? God's way better than GPS. So as we start shining, even the dullest, most boring things can take on new light. Think about that. Even the stuff that doesn't seem like it's hardly worth doing could take on new light when we start shining in the middle of it. And every little thing you do has potential to shine. So there's this passage in 1 Kings chapter 10. I'm going to read you a few verses from there. And this is amazing to think about, because we all remember Solomon, the wisest man in history, based on the scripture, outside of Jesus. There was this queen who went to see Solomon, the Queen of Sheba. And she saw how he took things, and there was a glory on even the little things that he did. In verse 1, I think I skipped verse 1 in my notes. Yeah, here it is. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. And then jumping down to verse 4, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was true, the report that I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half was not told to me.'" Here is this woman who came a long way to hear Solomon, to find out if he was all that in a bag of chips. And she found out that he was. Not only that, but every little thing. Did you hear that list of little things? Solomon had every little thing. And every little thing, she was looking at all that stuff going, he's made everything better. He's made everything good. Look at all the detail. Everything is amazing. This guy is incredible. Sometimes the little details that we skip, that we think aren't important, are little places where we can just add a little of the light of God's love, add a little of the light of his truth, add a little light of his goodness to us. And as we do that, we start to realize, wait a minute, God really is good. And what he's got me doing is good. It's a good thing. I'm glad I'm doing this. This needs to be done. And I'm really happy that I get to be the one who does this. Oh yeah, be the one. We say that all over time around here, don't we? Solomon's wisdom came shining through the things that he did. Can the light of God's love, can God's goodness come shining through the things that we do? Absolutely. Absolutely. You are who he says you are. So you can do what he says you can do. If he is in you, then the it of his light, it will be in you. You can do it. You are his workmanship. He didn't forget something when he put you together. You're not a mistake. I've had several good quotes today. I didn't tell you where they all came from. I like this quote, though. "I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have about me. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have about me." That's a quote from Bill Johnson. Some of you know I like that fella. Read a lot of his books. I've used that quote a lot of times, and one time I heard Bill Johnson say this. He said, first time you use a quote, you say who you got it from. Next time you say, it's been said, and then you quote it. And then the last time you say, as I always say. So as I always say, I can't afford to have a thought about me that God doesn't have about me. Be the one who shines. Be the one who shines. Because I believe that's your destiny. That's your mission. And that's the thing that will give you the most joy that you can possibly have in your life. Let's stand up together. Where you can. Put your hand on your own heart. So, Father God, you are in us. It's amazing the light that's in us if we'll just recognize that light and give that light first place in everything that we do. And I pray that our hearts and our minds will be more than ever before refocused to just let that light shine. Even when things go haywire, even when things are crazy, that might be the very best moment to trust you and let that light shine. And for anyone in this room, Lord, who's not completely sure that they know you the way they need to know you, I pray, Lord, that you will cause them by your Spirit to recognize that they have a need and that they would go looking, Lord, to find out how they can draw nearer to you in every way, shape, and form. And all this we pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, we're going to do an offering. Goodbye to those who are on Facebook if they haven't already left, or on YouTube, excuse me.